Good morning and welcome to Focus 580. This is our telephone talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. In this part of Focus, we'll be talking about homework. Is it important? Does it matter? And for whom? And our guest for the program this morning is Etta Kralovec. She is the co-author of the book that we'll be talking about. The title is The End of Homework. The subtitle, How Homework Disrupts Families, Overburdens Children, and Limits Learning. It's published by the Beacon Press in Boston, in which she makes the argument that, and certainly we will explore this in some depth, that as far as elementary school children are concerned, there isn't good evidence to suggest that doing homework has academic benefit. And in fact, there's reason to think that it causes a lot of stress and strain in families, and that perhaps it might be better if children were using their time outside of school, time that they're now using to do homework, to do other sorts of things, whether that be quality time with mom and dad or doing chores or being involved in sports or what have you. As we talk this morning with our guest, you certainly are welcome to call in if you have questions, comments. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line, good anywhere that you can hear us, around Illinois, Indiana, anywhere in the continental United States, in fact, and that is 800-222-9455. You match those numbers with the letters on the telephone, you get WILL, so 333-WILL, and toll-free 800-222-WILL. Our guest took her doctorate in philosophy and education from Teachers College at Columbia University. She was a teacher for over 12 years and professor of education and director of teacher education at the College of the Atlantic for 11 years. Currently, she is vice president for learning with Training and Development Corporation in Maine. And she is joining us this morning by telephone. Ms. Kralovec, hello.
Hello, David.
Thanks for talking with us today.
Thank you for having me.
As I mentioned just before we had our newscast, it seems to be one of those articles of faith. People just simply believe that homework is important and that maybe even, in fact, they might believe that the more homework, the better. Here you're challenging the conventional wisdom, and let me pose the question that you pose in the book and then answer. Why talk about homework? Why look at homework? Why make an issue of this, something that everybody, that a lot of people would seem to think, oh, no question about it, that's important, the kids should be doing it?
Well, I think that we do believe that. We take it on faith. And I think that over the last 20 years, there's been a real increase in the amount of homework that kids have been asked to do. There's been an increased focus on it, homework, as part of the grades that kids receive in school. So I think as the increase has sort of the heat's been turned up on the amount of homework that's been assigned, people are beginning to question it because it's had such a tremendously negative impact on the quality of our family lives.
So what evidence do we have? I'm sure that we have anecdotal evidence, and perhaps in a moment we can talk about the kind of evidence that you collected when you ask children what they think about homework. But let's go back to this issue of disruption of family life. What sort of evidence do we have that is more than just anecdotal, that in fact homework does that?
Well, I think that I think we could start with the anecdotal evidence. I think that when it comes to educational issues, parents are often made to feel that their own experience is less important than the quote-unquote expert's view of what's good for us educationally. And so parents have been kind of unwilling to really examine something like homework and how it impacts the family. It's very hard to gather data on homework, and there is beginning to be, I think, some research coming out of especially family studies kinds of programs where researchers are going into families and to the home, into what they call homework situations, and they're looking at what happens during those times. And I think they're finding that one of the things that is particularly problematic is that parents and kids have to assume schooling roles inside the family. So when homework comes out onto the dining room table, the parent, in a sense, has to become the teacher, and the student has to, and the child has to become a student again. And so those role switches that have to happen inside the family make the family relationship deeply complicated, and it's already complicated, we all know that. But the student role for many kids is actually very, very stressful. So the kids are put in this continued level of stress by having to be students at home with their parents. And the parents are in a very complicated relationship because they oftentimes have a relationship with the school curriculum that is less than ideal. So the, these kinds of role switchings that happens, I think people are becoming increasingly concerned about.
Mm. How much homework are children doing on the average?
Well, you know, that's a very difficult question, actually, because homework research is actually self-reported. So we only know what people tell us they're doing. But the University of Michigan came out with a study that indicated that since 1981, there's been a dramatic increase. In 1981, grade school kids reported doing 85 minutes a night, and now we're up to 2 hours a night.
The one of the things that you explore in the book is the fact that there are some school districts that, in fact, have a policy. They actually have spelled out what they think about homework, and that they think that it's a good thing, that it's important. Do in fact a lot of districts have something down on paper that says, we think homework is important. This is why we think it's important. This is how much homework we think kids should be doing, and actually have some sort of really thoroughly developed policy and justification for it.
Well, I think actually all school districts have policies that determine the amount of time that teachers are required to give as homework. I think also most schools in their handbooks give you a very, very well-articulated statement about their philosophy of homework, if you will. I think, and actually I'd be interested in hearing from folks in Chicago. I understand that Mayor Daley has, in fact, mandated a homework policy for Chicago City Schools. So I think that homework policies are very much on the political agenda as well as very much part of district policy.
Maybe I should introduce again our guest for this part of Focus 580. We're talking with Etta Kralovec. She is the co-author of a book titled The End of Homework, How Homework Disrupts Families, Overburdens Children, and Limits Learning. It's published by the Beacon Press. She herself has been a teacher. She's also been involved in teacher education at the college level. She's currently Vice President for Learning with Training and Development Corporation, which is based in Maine. And if you have questions, you certainly are welcome. We have somebody right here ready to go. Maybe just real quick here, I will also mention that our guest will be making a couple of appearances to talk about her book in the Chicago area in about 2 weeks. This will be in mid-September. On 2 weeks from today, as a matter of fact, she'll be at the bookstall at Chestnut Court in Winnetka in the evening, 6 o'clock in the evening, and then on Sunday, the 17th of September, at the Women and Children First Bookstore at 5233 North Clark, and this is at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So if there are people, and I presume there's maybe some people listening in the Chicago area, you might want to go and meet her and hear her. Otherwise, of course, questions are welcome. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line. Good anywhere that you can hear us. That's 800-222-9455. We do have a caller on our toll-free line here in Southern Illinois, line number 4.
Hello, how you doing?
Good.
my thought was, you know, me and my wife, we've decided we've lost confidence in the public school system, not necessarily against the teachers themselves, but just the large group in the volume size, you know, and what they're trying to teach on a religious aspect. And my thought was, you know, because we've decided to homeschool to try to get away from that, but we've been reading up on it, and we're reading that actually about half the time that the children are in the school is really spent doing any work whatsoever. I know they have to move from class to class and get settled down and stuff, but I was wondering, you know, because of that lack of time spent on work in school, is are they pushing the responsibility on the child to take it home and teach themselves because they have no teacher there to help them? And the parents, you know, from a religious view, we look at it as that we think that the family was designed for children to be more involved at home and responsibilities at home and learning there as well, and the parents teaching them, not sent into society for society to teach them what the parents really don't know. See, because we're so involved in our works that we have to make a better living because the cost of living's going up and up, so we all have to work and we're spending less time with our children and they're not getting our morals. I'll just hang up and listen. Thank you.
Okay. Well, there's quite a bit there that you might respond to whatever comment you'd like to make.
Well, you know, I think that the caller, and I'm sorry I didn't get his name, raised a whole set of issues that are really at the core of our work. And I'm going to try to pick a few of those out that I think are particularly central. One is this question of the religious issue, and all parents have educational agendas that they want to pursue with children, and some of us, that's the reason why we had children. And so one of the things that happens with this intensification of homework is that parents are finding they don't have time at home to work with their kids on their own personal educational agendas. And I actually think that a lot of the tension between the religious organizations and public schools would be lessened if schools would allow parents the time at home to work with their kids and whatever their educational agendas they want to pursue with their children. So I always feel sorry when parents leave the public school system, because I believe that there is a tremendous responsibility of the public schools, especially in a democratic society, to create citizens. But I totally respect and understand the fact that parents feel they don't have time to work on their own educational agendas with their kids. Another point that he raised is about he said half the time in school they don't spend learning. You hear all kinds of numbers that have been done by time management consultants and experts about the downtime in schools, and I think certainly we need to take a look at the amount of downtime that kids that the school schedule kind of schedules for, because I think that one of the questions is, if the kids don't do the work at home, when do they do it? And I think we could take a look at the ways in which we spend time in schools and maybe tighten up some of the time during the day so that the kids could get their homework done under the guidance of a trained professional teacher.
Hmm. So this is something that you do address in the book. You feel that if time in school was used more productively and we said to the kids, okay, instead of sending you home with a lot of work, we're going to do it here, that perhaps then more learning might take place, and in fact that the kids might have a little bit more positive attitude toward the classroom experience.
Well, I think that if you ask any kid, and if there was just an article yesterday in the New York Times about kids being given homework over the summer, which is a new phenomenon, really. But if you ask kids, they generally like school, but they hate homework. So the possibility exists that if you maybe extend the day a little longer, reschedule some of the time that's during the school day, that the kids could get their homework done during the school day under the watchful eye of a teacher. And I think that we would all agree that independent work and self-study is really very much an important part of any educational program offered by a school, but that work needs to be overseen by a trained teacher.
We have another caller here in Freeport, line number 4. Hello.
Yeah, good morning.
Yes.
It seems to me that after all the education courses I took to train to be a high school teacher, that so much of your so-called education today in all types of schools is actually indoctrination. And it's the teacher is supposed to reinforce existing beliefs, whether they're scientifically correct or not. I had a professor at Northern Illinois University, DeKalb, who was just a stout defender of the established system of capitalism, and nobody, according to him, no teacher could deviate from that. If you did, you deserve to be fired. What do you say to that?
You know, the question of the content of the learning in school is a very interesting question, and I couldn't disagree with you that there is a level of indoctrination there that I find problematic as well. And I think that that's one of the reasons why when we look at homework, you know, people, educators say homework is the link between the school and the family, and it's the, really the way in which the school can communicate with the parent about what the child is learning. And I don't know about your listeners, but for me, certainly, a lot of the learning that my kids were doing in school, when I would do their homework with them, I was appalled by. And I didn't personally want to further indoctrinate them in a particular view that I might have found disquieting. And so I think that the question about the content of schooling is one that is raised by and made more problematic by the fact that the parent is supposed to then teach the kid what the school is deeming as sort of accepted wisdom. And I think we find that, again, there's a huge problem with the teaching of evolution in schools. There's a huge problem with the interpretation of history. And so one of the things that I, again, keep thinking is if the parents were free at night to challenge the received wisdom from the schooling day, I think parents would feel much less threatened by what you call the indoctrination of the school curriculum. Mm.
One of the things that you do in the book is give a little historical perspective on the way that we have thought about homework, at least over the last about 100 years. And I didn't know, and was interested in learning, that for, say, about the last 50 years or so, that people were thinking that maybe homework was a problem and that it was not helpful. And over that time, attitudes toward homework had, in a sense, relaxed, and we were requiring less and less of it because we thought that when kids were not in school, it would be good for them to be doing other sorts of things, to be outside, to be running around, to be playing, whatever it was they were doing, that there should be some balance, that we should balance schoolwork with some other sorts of things. And that was an attitude that prevailed really about up until the time of Sputnik, when we started thinking about how maybe where we were behind in certain areas, and then people started thinking differently. What was some of the, say, before roughly 1950, what was the thinking about homework like?
Well, you know, it was very interesting doing that work because, as you said at the beginning, we think of homework as something that's always been there, but in fact, there have been periods of time in the early part of the 20th century where there was a lot of opposition to it, led in part by women's magazines, especially the Ladies Home Journal, where the editor there was instrumental in the society to abolish homework, for example. And there were a lot of physicians in that movement in the early part of the 20th century that said that kids needed 5 to 6 hours of fresh air and sunshine a day in order to be healthy. And so there was this huge emphasis on the health problems associated with homework in the anti-homework movement in the early part of the 20th century. And, you know, I kept thinking as I was doing that research, wouldn't it be amazing if you went to school today with a note from your doctor saying, my child can't do homework because it's causing them eye strain, and we really believed that in the first part of the 20th century. So there was a whole health component to that particular anti-homework movement. There was a short anti-homework movement in the late 60s and early 70s that focused on this question of the whole child and how can we raise whole, complete human beings if they spend so much time doing homework.
Hmm. And then things turned around. Indeed, it was Sputnik when we started to be concerned about where we were in terms of math and science vis-a-vis the Soviet Union. And then people started to think differently about homework. And then aside from that little break that you mentioned, then also in about maybe the last 20 years or so, particularly since the 80s, when we were again, there was this beginning of a great deal of concern about the quality of public education. Then our ideas about homework turned around. And that's when we got into this way of thinking that, as you explained, that it seems to be the article of faith, and we sort of think, oh gosh, we always thought homework was important. Well, that's not exactly true, that it's only been maybe within the last few decades that we really became consumed with this idea that when kids come home, they ought to be spending a few hours with their noses buried in their books.
That is true, and I think that it's also true that that we have never had a period with this intense focus on homework, sort of the school reform period that really began in the mid-'80s with the publication of A Nation at Risk, sort of has begun this latest period of school reform, and that a part of the school reform package has been a real sort of intensification, longer school day, more required subjects, and greater amounts of homework. And we haven't yet had an examination of, in part, the political underpinnings of increased homework, but also in the sort of pedagogical problems with it.
Hmm. We are almost at the midpoint of this part of Focus 580, and I'd like to introduce again our guest. We're talking with Etta Kralovec. She is the co-author of a book titled The End of Homework. It's published by the Beacon Press. She has been a teacher and an educator of teachers. She's currently vice president for learning with Training and Development Corporation in Maine. Questions are certainly welcome. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. One of the things that you argue in the book is you take a look at the kind of research that's been done looking at the benefits of homework, or trying to ask the question, are there indeed benefits? And particularly here, I want to make sure that people understand that we're talking about elementary and maybe middle school kids, and high school may be sort of a separate issue. But that one of the things that you argue is that there are no studies that conclusively establish that for younger children, there is any academic benefit to doing homework. True?
Yes. I mean, I would also actually include the studies that were done at the secondary level as well.
Hmm.
And I think one of the problems, for us has been, for us as parents now, has been that we're not very well-informed consumers of educational research. And in our book, we really try to unpack that research for the layperson so that parents can understand what kinds of evidence educators are using when they make the claims that they make about homework and student achievement.
Well, those studies that do make that claim, are they simply looking at test scores or future academic success of the kids, or and are they looking at all children? Are they looking at some children? What are those studies that actually come up with an answer with the answer that says yes, homework is beneficial? What are they looking at?
Well, they're looking at a very narrow spectrum, and that is typically test score results. And one of the things that even the people who do those studies and make claims for homework's benefit will say as a caveat is that you can't really establish causal relationships. So to say that kids who score better in school spend more time doing homework really doesn't say anything and can't say anything about whether or not homework is the cause of that increased achievement, which is very minimal in almost every one of the research studies. Because you might be able to say, for example, that, and some people do suggest this, that kids in higher track classes are assigned more homework. So they do more homework because it's assigned, but the homework isn't what's causing them. They're just better students, and they've always been better students. You know, it would be interesting to look at the amount of time kids spend brushing their teeth, and I'm sure you would find that kids who get higher grades in school brush their teeth more, you know, because they might be more organized or something, but we certainly wouldn't say brushing your teeth caused those kids to get higher test scores. So you just can't establish causality in educational research. You can establish correlations, but correlations do not prove causality, and I think that's a very important point for us to understand, because that's the claim that the researchers want to make, and they just really don't have the ground to make that claim.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. That old business of correlation and causality,
yeah,
I think is a problem all over the place. It's not just with these issues. People
right.
do that all the time.
Right, and I think that most of us are, you know, we're not comfortable enough with our understanding of social science research to be able to challenge that. And we're hoping that with our book that parents can get enough of a grounding in those research problems, which are very complicated and complex, so they can challenge those claims.
We have some other callers. They're both here locally in Urbana. So we'll start with a caller on line one. Hello.
Hi. I haven't been listening to very much of the program this morning, but I have two that are going into kindergarten, and so I'm just starting out my school days with kids. But my impression is that homework is an opportunity for me to see what they're studying at school and also to see what their study skills are like and to help them improve their study skills. Am I wrong in thinking that way?
No, you're not wrong in thinking that way, and good luck and congratulations and all those things that women deserve when their kids enter kindergarten. But I think that ideally the homework is seen as a way for parents to get a glimpse at what the kids are learning in school, to understand kids' study habits. But I think the reality of that has been that the parents, instead of seeing what the kids' study habits are like, the parents are in the position of having to beat their kids up at night to get them to study, and it often turns into a battle between tired parents, overworked parents, tired kids, and this, you know, over the school curriculum. So the ideal is what you describe, and I think the reality is far from the ideal. That not necessarily the fault of the parent either.
Right. That's a good point. I hadn't taken into consideration the fatigue.
And answer the studying question. I think that you probably know, you probably watched your kids play enough and you watched your kids study, because really for kids the ages of your kids, play is learning.
Right.
You know what you know how your kids learn.
Yes.
You know their study habits. You know when they're on. You know when they're off. You know all that really already.
Right.
About your kids.
Yes, that's a good point. And I see how one of them has a very short attention span, and the other one seems to have an exceptionally long attention span. Probably the short attention span one is normal, and so I'm looking at the going to school and the homework as a chance to help them work on those skills. I guess I came from a home where my mom never helped us with our schoolwork. We were always on our own to do it. I had very, very poor study skills. And so I see areas that I want to try and prevent in my own children.
Yeah, and isn't it too bad that kids whose parents were uninvolved in their studies at home are penalized in the public school system? That parents' attitudes are part of the package of student grades. And I think that was a real problem, and one of the things in our early studies of kids that had dropped out of school, we found that homework really exacerbated problems for kids in school because they didn't have parents at home who were able to, for whatever a myriad of reasons, help them with the work that the school assumed would be done at home.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'll keep listening.
All right. Thanks for the call. Well, this sort of gets in an issue that I've been thinking about here, going back to the point where you were talking about some of the stresses and strains that homework can put on the relationship between children and parents, because it's putting the parents in the position of having to be a teacher, and that can be difficult, particularly if the subject matter is something where the parents don't feel particularly strong and confident. And while I can see all of that, I guess I'm also thinking about all of the advice that we've been doling out here for I don't know how long, that parents should be doing that kind of thing with their children, particularly when they're younger, that they should be reading with them, that they should encourage them to be excited about books and writing, and that they should take them places where they have opportunity to learn and engage them and help develop their inquisitiveness and their ability to think carefully about difficult things and their ability to try to figure things out, that this sort of program, this sort of informal program, is something that we're telling parents they're supposed to be doing virtually from the time the kids are born. And I'm sort of not quite sure how I get these things together. So getting together this positive sort of advice that we give parents, and then this downside, can we sort that out?
Well, I think we could try, but I think there's a couple of things embedded in there. One is that there is a huge difference between 35 long division problems that sit on the dining room table with a kid in tears at 8 o'clock at night, and the kinds of informal learning that we all know as parents are really important. And you named all those things. You know, creative thinking, helping the kids with the reading, critical thinking, all those things. But those things are all taught best, really, in the context of daily living activities. You know, you can teach a kid a lot of math in the kitchen when they're helping you cook dinner. You can teach kids a lot of critical thinking when you're sitting in front of a TV sort of unpacking the evening news with them. And so I think there's a difference between the learning that we want to do with our kids that we know is what we should be doing and the mandated finishing up the day's schoolwork, which is oftentimes never positive learning and something that the parent is not part of the parent's educational agenda. So I think there's a difference there between those two things. The other thing is, and this came home to me very powerfully in a radio show I was doing in Maine, when a father called in and the issue of reading and said, you know, my fourth grader, he's supposed to read at home and I'm supposed to help him. My fourth grader's not a very good reader. And then there was this silence. And then he said, you know, I can't read. I can't help him with his reading. I can't go tell his teacher I can't read because I'm embarrassed. The deep shame that that man felt because he couldn't read, the fact that there were no reading programs in his community where he could get help, and added to that the way the school sort of impacted his own shame was so powerful to me. Suddenly this thing about reading to your kid, which sounds so sweet and neutral, and of course every parent would want to do that, has this overlay of the fact there's a huge number of people in this country who are parents who are illiterate. And so if the school wants to mandate that reading, that reading should be done at home with kids, there needs to be simultaneously a program in the school to help parents learn to read who can't read. So it's not a simple, isn't it nice if you read to your kids? Yes, of course you should read to your kids. We all know that the kids that are read to are better readers and score higher. But if you are illiterate, where do you go to get help in this society today? There's not a lot of literacy programs for adults around.
Mm. Well, we have some other callers. Let's go next to, next in line is another Urbana person here, line number two. Hello.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, I was thinking when you were talking about the kid, or that lady was talking about talking about a kid crying over the homework late at night, that very often the teacher can go very carefully over what's involved and how to attack problems, say algebra problems, and the kid will just blow it off. I mean, he'll be sitting in back of the room doodling or reading a magazine or something. And so, of course, at night, when he's sitting there, when he's expected to practice, you know, and drill in order to, you know, get the skills down, he is crying. And it's not really, it's very often not the teacher's fault. You know, it's very often the kid just is totally inattentive in class when the material is covered. But that said, I kind of tend to agree with you, because I kind of think less is more, and it would be wonderful if during school, you know, you could get the kind of attention and engagement that would allow, kind of a less is more approach, but a solid grasp of some of the real basics. But anyway, what I called about, though, was I read in the Publisher's Weekly short review of your book, and part of it is just right on the money. And that is, when you're talking about the iniquities between our class structure and how assigning homework actually increases the achievement gap between wealthy students who've got plenty of time, and educated, more educated parents, say, and those children who have their own kids to take care of and after school jobs. I mean, I've been in classes where kids were falling asleep because they didn't get home until midnight. I mean, if you could talk about that, it'd be wonderful. And I'll hang up. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Sounds like a teacher, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Suspiciously.
Very familiar with the kids.
Suspiciously does.
I will talk about the problem of the economic disparity. But one of the things that he said that I think that I would really like to stress is that I don't think there's a fault or a blame here. You know, I don't think that teachers are at fault because they don't do it, or parents are at fault because they can't help, or kids are at fault because they flake out. I think the system is structured to make this a huge problem for everybody involved in it. So it would be to everyone's benefit, I think, if we examined this practice carefully. But I think the issue of the economic inequality in the practice is so incredibly important. And I sort of actually, in fact, stumbled onto this work when I was doing a study for the Maine State Department of Education. They wanted me to do an evaluation of alternative schools that had been designed to retrieve kids who had dropped out of high school. And so as part of that study, we did some in-depth ethnographic interviews with about 50 kids who were in these schools, trying to find out the answer to a question that I was deeply interested in, which was, when did they know they weren't going to make it through school? And in answer to that question, the kids told long stories about, what it means to be poor and live in rural Maine, but they all mentioned problems with homework, which was stunning to me because I had never heard it as an indicator for school failure. And the more we kept getting these stories from kids, the more clear the picture came to us of the problems that poor kids have completing homework, in part due to the fact that they don't typically have well-educated parents at home. They oftentimes have huge responsibilities for the family. They don't have access to computers with massive databases. So the inequality in the society, which is only, if we believe what we read, is only getting greater as economic prosperity continues to grow, means that this is becoming deeply problematic for the split in our society.
Well, we have about 10 minutes left. Our guest, Etta Kralovec, she's the co-author of the book, The End of Homework, the subtitle, How Homework Disrupts Families, Overburdens Children, and Limits Learning. It's published by the Beacon Press, in which she makes the basic argument that we should at least question the idea that a lot of homework is good for kids at the elementary levels, maybe even the secondary level. She says that the studies that have looked at the issue, does homework benefit kids academically, are certainly not conclusive. And she also argues that homework causes a lot of stress, a lot of unhappiness in families, and that maybe it would be better for children to spend that time that they are not in school, instead of doing homework, doing other kinds of activities, maybe just playing, but also other extracurricular activities, whether that be scouting or sports or whatever, that maybe the time would be better spent doing other sorts of things. We have the lines full. We will try to get in everybody in the time that we have left, starting with a caller in Champaign County, and this is line number one. Hello.
Hi. It seems to me that homework isn't, there's no theory of homework. I've listened and heard a number of ideas about what homework is and how it takes place, but even educators don't really have an idea of the functions and purposes of homework and how to implement that. So that's a problem. So I doubt that any of the research that now exists is really sufficient to say whether homework is beneficial or not beneficial, and because it doesn't have an underlying construct that it's examining very well. The other thing, then, is that it seems to me that the call for homework really was political rather than educational. You know, the nation in crisis, and the way to solve the crisis is to load the kids up, and the way to load the kids up is to make them do work not only in school but at home. And that a great deal of the emphasis on homework is not pedagogical. It's let's keep the critics satisfied in some way. So we're not going to solve the homework problem until we inform the political views in much better way than we are, and we simply can't do that. Whatever is emotional, the political view latches onto.
Yeah. Well, Ms. Garlovic, you want to respond to that?
Yes, and I completely thank you for all of those points, because I completely agree with you, and I think the problem, the political nature of the topic, is something that we really need to keep stressing, because since we don't have any solid pedagogical reasons for the practice, we have to look elsewhere for its source. It is political. It's tied to changes in the economic system. It's tied to a whole bunch of non-school things, as are all kinds of school policy things. So that issue is a really important one for parents to understand. But I also wanted to talk a little bit about, there was a study that came out of the Rand Corporation just last week that looked at correlation between test scores and changes in states and their school reform movement, and they looked at the power of professional development programs for pre-kindergarten programs for kids, and increased teacher resources. When you stack up that kind of reform agenda against a homework agenda, homework is school reform on the cheap, and I think that's one of the reasons why politicians latch onto it, because it doesn't cost anybody any money.
Well, I appreciate the comments of the caller. Let's go to Vincennes, Indiana, for someone else here. Line number 4. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. I'd like to start out with just some background on myself. I used to teach before I was married, before I had children, and if I could go back and teach again, I can assure you I would assign less homework. But because I teach, my children, homework is a priority. I'm very fortunate to be able to get off at 3 o'clock. I don't know how parents who work until 5 and 6 manage to get home and get the homework and get the kids in bed and get a bath and have any family time and have the kids have any time to do extracurricular activities. I like to know what my kids are doing. I did have, when my son, who's in 5th grade now, is in kindergarten, he didn't have any homework. There was no feedback. There were problems, and I didn't know it. And I think if there had been just a little bit of homework, I could have seen it for myself and been able to help him along a little bit earlier than we did. But I think also that when he was in 3rd grade, we would do 2 and 3 hours of homework at night. And one night, we got home at 3, and with my children, it's their priority. They do that before they do anything else, or they do enough of it that I know after their activity they can finish it. All he had time for was a bath and to eat. There was no time to watch TV, no time to play outside, nothing. And that was when I went to school and said, hey, something's wrong. And I think it's the quantity. The teacher thinks they have to assign a whole page of math problems for them to do as homework, and all they really need to assign is maybe 5 for them to practice and show the parents that, hey, I know how to do this, or I don't know how to do this, and you need to be looking at either having the teacher help them more or the parents helping more. But like I said, you know, I don't know how parents that work until 5 and 6 do it. And I know I'm very fortunate not to have to deal with that. But I also know that even getting off at 3, I would like for my son and daughter to be able to do piano lessons, and there's just no time to fit that in. And they only are in like 2 or 3 other activities. I also don't know how some of these parents have their kids in 5 and 6 extra activities besides school. I don't know how they get it done.
Well, Ms. Kralovic, it sounds like this, you would certainly be in sympathy with what the caller says.
Yeah, But you raised a really important point about the perceived benefit of homework being that it provides a communication link between the school and the family. Everyone would agree that that link is vital. And the questions that we raise, however, have to do with whether or not homework actually does that. Is homework the best way for schools and parents to communicate? And I think that I would suggest that it isn't, that it's actually a destructive form of communication between schools and parents because we think we're communicating, but we're actually not communicating. So I think that communities need to take a look at that vital communication link and talk about what's a better way for parents and schools to communicate with each other. So I think that's vital, but boy, I never found it very successfully done through homework.
Again, I hope the caller will forgive me for going on. The callers are making great points this morning, and I sort of hate to jump in and continue, but we just have a couple of minutes left, and we've have several people here, and I won't be able to get them all. I'd like to get at least one more, and that in line, that would be Homer, and line number two. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
Hey, I'm going to respond to the teacher that called. I'm also a math teacher. And I'm getting very tired. It's very popular among teachers now to blame students for the teacher's own failings. Now, what I say is when those guys are screwing around the back of the room, it's because the teacher hasn't used the right text materials or tried to make it different. Or not different, but interesting. As Alfred North Whitehead said, if the student cannot grasp the importance of something as it is being presented in class, then it should be taken to the shop and fixed until the student does.
Well, again, Ms. Gralovic, you have a thought about
that? You know, Alfred, how can you even comment? Here. But I do think that math teachers, and it's too bad we don't have time to look at the math issue. I think there's a lot of math teachers that are now saying, I'm not going to give homework. The kids go home. They drill and practice on it, but they do it wrong, so I've got to unteach actually what they learned through the drill and practice at home. We know a lot more now about teaching and learning than we did 20 years ago. Teachers need to see the mistakes the kids make, especially in math problems, so they can help the kids scaffold new learning on to correct existing knowledge.
We're down at the point here where I don't have very much time left, like maybe about a minute or a minute and a half, and we really haven't talked about what you would suggest parents do who at least want to question this or sort of raise this issue or say to the school administrators or to the teachers, you know, we think this is a problem. Let's talk about this homework thing.
Well, you know, we have a chapter in the book on what parents need to do, and parents need to first of all become educated on the subject of homework so that they can enter into the conversation with professional educators. We also think that parents need to identify their own sort of interests in this. They need to meet together as parents, and they need to be very clear about what the issues in their particular community are when it comes to homework, because all communities are different. We caution parents against doing the following. Do not go as a single parent to your child's teacher and try to talk about homework. Policies are not set by teachers, they're set by districts. That teacher has to assign homework. She's under as much pressure as you are. Parents need to go in groups to either the school board meetings, which are always public and open, or to the principal. The groups of parents need to be across grade levels so that you aren't made to feel as a parent that you're doing something wrong or that you're not a good parent because you can't organize your home life to get the homework done. So you need to go in groups. Don't go alone.
Well, thanks very much for talking with us. And I'm sorry to say we're going to have to finish there, but we've come to the end of the time. We appreciate it very much, you being with us today.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to hear how people around the country are feeling about homework.
Our guest, Etta Kralovec. And again, if you would like to read this book that we've mentioned, it's titled The End of Homework, and it's published by Beacon Press.